We discussed the stories and the incidents of our elders, not because they have the level of the Quran or the level of the Hadith, but our conviction is this, that they knew best how to apply the Hadith. Like, we rely on Imam Harisab Rahmatullah Ali. Why? Because he knew how to preserve the Hadith. In jurisprudence and fiqh, we depend upon Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali, not because he was the Quran or the Hadith, but he had a great understanding of the Hadith. So we rely on Imam Bukhari for the preservation. We rely and depend upon Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali for the understanding. And we rely upon our elders for the application. They learned it and they applied it. So we are so weak, we don't know how to preserve it. We don't know how to understand it fully. And we don't know how to apply it best. And it is, this type of thinking is supported by the statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, من كان منكم مستنًا فليستنِ بمن قد مات. Follow the path of those that have already passed on, the pious, the righteous that have passed on. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَّ لَا تُؤْمِنُوا عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Because the one that has passed on, his trial is over, is gone. But you saw his life from the beginning till the end. It was a steady path, consistent path, and he reached his end in that consistency. So when he reached the end, and he reached the end with consistency, then inshallah the path that he has taken seems to be the right path. But the one that is still alive, you don't know whether he's going to carry on straight, going to fall into a ditch, going to come out alive. How is he going to end this journey, we don't know. But the one that has ended the journey, mashallah, he's ended it, and he seemed to be consistent throughout, from the beginning right to the end. The one consistent straight path that he had followed, alhamdulillah, he's reached the end, and he's reached to the end safely. You see, one outstanding thing amongst our elders was encouraging the good and forbidding the bad. Right? So something outstanding. In fatwa, from the time of the Sahaba Kiram and up to the recent past, the pious of the past and the pious that we've seen, they would not be too enthusiastic, and they won't be rushing to give fatwas. Yes, in enjoining the good, forbidding the bad, that they will be very strong, encouraging it. But now fatwa, they would say, hey, we don't want to make a mistake here. Because it's such a delicate thing. Situation is so delicate. One thing, you know, our reasoning may go off, and we may just go off completely. There's one small error in our reasoning, and we come to the wrong conclusion entirely. So that, leave it to someone who is very well versed, who's understanding, who's got the proper details. Someone came to Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. So he asked him some astound inheritance. They gave him an answer. And he says to him that, go to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and say, wafiquni, he will also agree with me. So he went to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and presented the whole case. So Ibn Mas'ud says, قَدْ ضَلَلْتُ إِذَنْ, if I say and agree what Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, my brother, I agree with him in this, then I am gone off. Then he showed him the tried right masala, this is how it works. Now, this person comes and relates the whole thing to Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. So Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu tells him, as long as ma dama hadhal hibru fikum, don't refer to me. As long as this alim is around, don't come to me. So in this respect, they weren't looking very forward. They were very reluctant, they pushed in the corner, looking for it. Sometimes, Ibn Mas'ud is seeing into one, 1 month, 2 months. And then to after he's come to a conclusion, then he says, if I'm right, then fa min Allah. And if I'm off, fa minni, fa min nafsi. It's from my own weakness. Wallahu wa rasuluhu bari'an. So they're so careful about these things. But in this matter, these matters of encouraging the right, forbidding the bad, then they would be very, very forward in that, encouraging it. In the day of Umar radiallahu anhu, one person stood up in Sham, Syria, and he's talking about things way off, confusing people, complicating. So because amongst people, it is such that if you see everything going straight, they don't find any excitement. They only find the excitement if there is some thunder, fireworks, then they begin to jump, right? But everything is going calm, composed, that doesn't appeal to them. They want someone to shout outside the masjid. In some home, there must be some fight, there must be some dynamite, some fireworks. Then we all want to be spectators, but we like to see that action. But that peaceness, the peace, and that calmness for that thing to prevail, we're not too interested. So this person saw it now, it's too peaceful now, let's create something. And he's creating a confusion. So the one that is responsible, the governor of that area, relayed this to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar says, just send him to me. Brought him to Medina, fastened him, and gave a couple of good shots. 2-3 shots. So all that nonsense that was in my mind all cleared up. So now, you get one class of people who can only be fixed up if you panel beat them. If you don't panel beat them, they're not fixed up. So there is one class, right? Koi baat ka aadmi hota hai, or koi laat ka aadmi hota hai. Some people, they listen, understand, and they will digest. And some people, until you don't panel beat them, then they don't come right. Right. But now, with the passage of time, there is a situation that we are confronted with. There is freedom of speech, right? You see in your WhatsApp and your smartphones and all that. Isn't that freedom of speech? Any person wants to say anything about anybody, anywhere, he will just talk about it. It becomes viral, comes on to every phone, whether that is the truth or not. But we are going with it. That became public information. Either we go with the news that we hear and read, or if I like this person, whatever he says, that will be the wahi, that will be the truth, because I like him. So why I'm supporting him? Because I like him. And why I'm against him? Why I reject what he says? Because I don't like him. I don't like him, so that's now the basis for me rejecting his statements. So just because I like you, whatever you say will carry weight. Just because I dislike you, whatever you say, I will reject. So that's become the basis for acceptance or rejection. So now, there's total freedom of speech. Anybody wants to say anything about anybody, anytime, anywhere, he's prepared to do it. He doesn't find any resistance. Any type of behavior, all type of behavior, everything is acceptable. From the best type of behavior to the worst type of behavior, what even won't go into the mind of an animal, man doesn't find any resistance, resistance to say it or to behave in that manner. The worst type of behavior is prepared to do it. And there is no law to control it. No law to regulate that. But if you look at it, it's the worst type of behavior. You know, it doesn't even pass your mind. That type of behavior. But there's absolutely no law to regulate this type of things. So there's total freedom of speech. There's total freedom of behavior. Right? The state total freedom of the press. If I like something, then that person, even if he does a wrong, even if he killed 59 people, but then that person becomes mentally challenged. Why is mentally challenged? Because I like him, because he's of this complexion, because he's of this community. But in cold blood, he killed 59 people. No, he's mentally challenged. We need to excuse him. So I like him. Right? And that person, mistakenly or something, whatever, he killed one person. Right? But because I don't like him, therefore he became a Taliban, he became a Muslim, he just accepted Islam 3 months ago. Just 3 months ago, he accepted Islam, you know. So that's why he behaved in this manner. See? So now when I don't like the person, then this is the way I will give out the news. And if I like the person, this is how I will give the news, right? So now, the fault lies on both sides. On the ones that are disseminating the information, as well as the ones that are receiving that information. Now you may say, alright, the dissemination of the news, you understand the wrong in it. But what's the wrong in receiving the news? The wrong in receiving the news is, everybody doesn't have the capacity to digest it. You get so many phones coming from Oman, etc. Mona, is there any hope left for the Muslims and Islam throughout the world? Catching it here, catching it there, everywhere, we're just getting it. So this, is there any hope? Khuda ke bande, jab tumhare andar hazma ki quwwat sahi nahi, to tum kyun isko khate ho? Why are you eating this type of information when you can't digest it? Why? Who told you? Who forced you? You must eat it. Anything that comes, and you must read it, you must study the thing. Who forced you to do it? It's a chalti larai, you know. You picked up a fight. It's a chalti larai. You picked it up. You're looking forward to a fight. You caused a problem. There was total peace in your mind. You were relaxed. You were going everywhere, doing things peacefully. But then you started looked out for trouble. The man is looking for trouble. Now you know you don't have the capacity, you don't have that. You're studying in Miyasam, you know. So that time there wasn't any Molanas, very few Molanas. Even the whole Spingo, Rital, past Clearwood, there's no Molana. Talking about before 70s, right? No Molana. Then Mawa Salot Sahib came afterwards, right? But until then, absolutely no Molana. So Miyasam was the same, Jobug also now, the whole that spot now, you know they call it the Midran, right? There was no Molana, as I said. So now, small towns, Alexandra Township, now it's Marlborough. The Tarawi winter go and service it from Yasam, we're going. So we're going to perform Tarawi. So as we're going performing Tarawi, on the road now, on the left side of the road, there is some driving, you know, they show that bicycle, whatever. So my one Sati, now he's about 15 now, he is coming up of age. He got interested. I said, "Why do look at this? At night time we'll have a problem." He kept on looking. Now from a distance he's watching. I told him second time, third time, don't look at this, you'll have a problem at night. Anyway, now he didn't take it seriously. So now finish Tarawi. After Tarawi normally you have some snacks and all that. And then you go and sleep. Now, he was an early sleeper. Now he's still talking in the room, having some snacks and all that, and he's fast asleep. So, I can see that he's fast asleep. He just jumped off the bed. Allah, Allah, after me. He darted for the door. What happened? No, hey, those people, you know, I saw them, they're after me. Now, whatever he saw, that was imprinted in his mind. His mind couldn't digest it as yet. And he saw the same thing, it's playing out. And he can't come to terms with it. Well, why must you do these things? Now these things happen many times with women. Or listen to this type of stories. And most exciting for them is jinnah stories. Yeah, this happened to that auntie. But you can't digest it, don't listen to it. In the meanwhile, Allah Pak has given mankind a type of a defense. Even if it's the worst type of jinnah, but if you use your mind correctly, Allah Pak will help you. Trust in Allah Ta'ala. And say, Allah Ta'ala, he's a makhluk, I'm a makhluk, مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا مَا مِن إِلَّا آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. What's the ayat? No. إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. Every living creature is forelock is in the hand of Allah Ta'ala. Every living creature's forelock is in Allah's hand. مَا تَسْكُتُ مِن وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Even if a leaf has to drop, he knows about it. مَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْهُ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ. Nothing is hidden from him. Even to the extent of a mustard seed, or even lower than that, it's in his hand, it's in his control, his knowledge. So why must you be scared? It came now, right? You want makhluk, I want makhluk. So makhluk doesn't have to fear makhluk. I need to take my precautions, alright? Whatever precautions I need to exercise at that time, I will exercise. Like you saw something, right? Then you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Say a little bit loudly, you saw it, but it's a makhluk after all. Comes in a different format. This one came in a different format, that came in a different format. So you don't have to be scared about it. Must you be scared about it? Umar radiallahu anhu asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that when we are sleeping in the graves, Munkar Nakir come, you know, frightening faces and all that, right? So he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulallah, but our brains, will it be still the same? Intelligence, will it be the same? He said, yes, it will be the same. Perhaps it may be better, but your understanding and your reasoning ability will not be any low. So then nothing to worry about. If our understanding is right, inshallah, we'll overcome that. We'll cross that bridge. Now he's lying in his grave. Munkar Nakir come for the procedures, right? As they're coming for the procedure, they say, Man Rabbuk Wama Deenuk. He says, Rabbi Allah wa Deeni al-Islam. Wama Rabbukuma Wama Deenukuma. You're interrogating me, what about yourselves? Who's your Rabb? So he's perfectly normal. Now the one angel is saying to the other Farishta, hey, leave this person, this is Umar. So as you're normal, there's nothing to be afraid about. Nothing to become into a panic. This panic attack and all, it really started now. Before, there was still insan living on this earth. From thousands of years, there were insan living on the earth. Right. So they cope with all situations. Somebody saying now, you know, this currencies, gold and silver and all that, they started about some, say, 2000 years ago. I said, no, I don't think it's 2000, more than 2000. Because Yusuf alayhi salam, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ. What? وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ. Why must we become so consumed with the Western, with secular education? They said this. What they said is true. They make a lot of research. The Quran is saying, Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam is the grandson of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yusuf ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq ibn. So it's the great grandson of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? So about, say, there can be about 200 years between, maximum, between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam. But they were using dirham at that time. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودًا. Why must we feel inferior? Oh, they started it at that time, only 2000 years. Right, leave all your stories. Christ has said this. If we feel inferior, something the West has to express, then we feel that we must go by it. Because they make a lot of research and investigations and all that, so they are true. Like, which investigation of theirs was absolutely honest? They stole something from here and they said, I did it. Stole something from India and they said, no, computers, we did it. Bill Gates, right? But where they stole it from? From India. But that person, they bought him out and he took the name. If you go make that, you go trace the whole thing, where it started from, it stems from here. Another man, he stole the whole thing, the whole franchise, he's the champion, so. The stealing business, robbery, crookery business is nothing new to them. Because they don't have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, Day of Qiyamah, etc. So it's pure dishonesty. And with that pure dishonesty, the world still respects them. So anyway, now, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he needed that 2-3 shots and he came right. Now we got a situation as Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Again, Amar bil Ma'ruf, enjoying the good, forbidding the bad. See, we talk about your problems, world, international, all that, right? But one thing that the hadith says very clearly, that you're going to stop this, that you're going to have problems. So you'll have to do this, you'll have to be united, whatever it costs you, but holding to the rope of Allah Ta'ala. Holding to the rope of Allah Ta'ala, and be united. وَاتَسِيمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. You have to hold to the rope of Allah Ta'ala. So one Buzruk was passing on king's palace, you know. He is living right above the 50th floor, see. So as that Buzruk is passing, the king waved at him. Say, come in, you know. So I'm going to reach you. You were so high there, the sky. I'm going to reach you. No, don't worry. I'll lower the elevator. Now that zaman, what type of man-drawn elevator that we have had, said, I'll lower the elevator and it will escalate you one shot, right? So he lowered that escalator. Now that time, that escalator, you have to hold to it. Because it's not like how we have it now. To hold to it, and that thing will just, they'll rope you in and they'll pull you up, right? So he jumped off the escalator. In about 2 minutes, he was taught. And he was there on the top. Now that king got impressed with that Buzru. So he says, Allah Ta'ala se, pohunchne ka raasta kya hai? What is the way to reach up to Allah Ta'ala? What is the way to reach up to Allah Ta'ala? He said, easy. You know, you wrote me in. What I had to do? I had to hold on to your rope. And you pulled me in. So I have to hold on to the rope of Allah Ta'ala. That is the Quran and the Hadith. I'll have to hold on to it very firmly. And then Allah Ta'ala will rope you up. You will not be able to reach of your own. Of your own you can't reach. Yes, you will need that divine assistance. Divine grace. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ لَيَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا يَتَغَمَّدَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ وَفَضْلٍ. So you'll only get there when He ropes you in. He ropes you in with His mercy, you'll get up. And you think you're gonna get there, you're mistaken. Of your own, you can't get there. So you're dependent on His mercy all the time. So that feeling of dependence, that feeling of desperation must not leave you at any single moment. You don't know. One moment and you can just slip over. Just 1 second. You can just trip 1 second. Why His mercy did not cover you? Unshrouded with His mercy, nothing can come. But nothing can happen to you. They are makhluk, we are makhluk. Farishtas are makhluk, jinnat are makhluk, we are makhluk. Al-Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was going through Sanpur, someone hosted him. So, completed his zikr, tahajjud and all that now. As he's completing his zikr, one person came to meet him. Hazrat Hari Sahib is thinking to himself, but this apartment is sealed, how this person got in? So he asked him, curious, ke tum kon ho? Main wahi hoon jiski wajah se logo ne is makan mein rehne ko chhod diya. I am the jinnat. Because of me, people left this home. Phir tum kyun aaye yahan par? Why did you come here? Aapki mohabbat ki ghar se aaya hoon. Because of your mohabbat, I have come. Achha, میرے ساتھ ہمارے ساتھ محبت کا دعویٰ اور ہمارے دوستوں کو ایذا پہنچاتے ہو. You have got that, you claim that you have got a love for me, but you're hurting my friends. حضرت توبہ کرتا ہو, آج کے بعد کبھی تکلیف نہیں دوں گا. One shot. No تعویز, no burning something, candle, not cutting one black rooster anyway. جی? Simple procedure. You got the thing out of the way. But you just have to be calm, relaxed. You see something like this, then, oh, awliya, buzurgan, say Allahu Akbar, say it loudly. Anything, any this type of, the moment you just touch it, you can just get that feeling, say Allahu Akbar, and say it loudly. But even better is, as though there's one big Mawlana, big respectable Mawlana, you know, he's known like pious Mawlana, some big Mawlana, and of course he's got a cheeky face, and say Allahu Akbar! And you see that thing will work like a miracle. You must imagine him to be there, and he is instructing you to say Allahu Akbar. And you see all these things will just
it'll just fall out. It'll just disappear. So anyway, what we're getting at is the Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah, Muzi al-Quran. You know, started Muzi al-Quran. So they say also about him that if the Quran Sharif were to be revealed in Urdu, it would have been word for word his word, choice of words. So you can imagine now what level he must have been at. So now, he understands now that people have changed, but that Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar has to be done in spite of the changing of times. People change and all that, but this mustn't be left out, because if that is left out, the hadith says three problems are such that apart from the punishment of the hereafter, you catch it here in this world. Before your death in this world, you'll catch it. That is, one is the punishment of the hereafter. One is before you die, you must get it. One is the person who's been disobedient to his parents. So apart from the punishment of the hereafter, you must catch it here. You must go through something here. Number two is helping and supporting any type of a zulm. Any type of zulm, any type of oppression, cruelty. But you're supporting even with one word. But you can see his oppression. You can see it's wrong. You can see it's not justified. But you're supporting it with one word as well. Right? And number three, to be brazenly doing wrong. Doing wrong openly, brazenly, not worried about it. Not worried about the consequence. It's wrong, you can see it's haram. I'm doing what I'm doing is wrong. Incorrect. But you're brazen about it, just doing it boldly. So for these three persons, it said that apart from the punishment that is awaiting the hereafter, you will get it here also. That whoop of Allah will come here. So now, Hazrat Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah is noticing that this is now people, they are changing now. But now when they are changing, I still have to do this work here. Because if everybody is going to leave it out, if that divine punishment comes, that they're doing wrong, that punishment comes, then it will get all of us. اتَّقُوا فِتْنَةَ لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاسْ. Everybody will catch it. Because you're seeing the wrong is happening, and you're not doing anything about it. Imagine, it's a classroom situation, right? Children all sitting there. And someone is performing, talking, and being rowdy, right? Misbehaving. And you're watching everything, and you're cool and calm, not saying anything, just smiling away. So if the teacher walks in, will he be upset with that student that was cool and calm, and just entertaining himself? Will he be upset or not? He's not party to the crime. But he's also enjoying what's going on. Will he also collect it? He's also going to get it. So the same happens here. On a wider spectrum now, you're seeing everything happening. But no effort to try and correct, rectify. So there'll be different systems according to the zamana, according to the age, according to people. One way is the tabligh jamaat, right? It's a way to bring about some type of rectification, sanity and understanding amongst people. But that only goes if it is done in the right approach. Right approach, with muhabbat, understanding, mashwara, etc. It happens the right way, it goes right. Otherwise, the best type of work, but the wrong approach is used, then you don't get that type of results. Though it was the best type of work, but the approach wasn't right, right? Then the results don't come out right. So you have to have the right type of approach for the right type of results. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Look under the tafsir. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. It says, many a time, work is right, right? But you don't see forthcoming good results. Shabir Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah is quoting from Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah. He says that words have to have been supported with four conditions for that thing to take the right effect. One is the niyat is right. My intention is right. I'm telling you, I feel I need to, it is the right thing to do. Not to abuse you, not to insult you. Right? Now, for example, I'm sitting in the minbar, right? I'm giving a talk. And I have got an unsettled score with you. Right? I got an unsettled score. I need to put you in place. So I use the word, yard, you know, today's people, they don't have to keep the beards also, right? So it's because of that unsettled score, I need to take off with you. So I found the minbar the right place to come and settle all the scores. Is my niyat right? So when my niyat is not going to be right, it's not going to have that effect. I will have taken out all the heat out of my mind, out of my heart, but that talk is not going to give its result. So what is the niyat must be right. Number two, what you are saying must be right. What you are saying must be correct. There mustn't be any inconsistency in what you are saying. You have investigated it. You found what you are talking about to be the right thing. Number two. Number three is the approach must be right as well. One is the niyat is right. What you're saying is right. Right? Understand? The approach, one is what you're saying is right. You found out that this is the right thing. So you can't just go and blurt out anything, anytime, any place, to any person. Find out, is it the right thing to say? Number three, I say, the approach also must be right. Number four, the circumstance also must be right. So, everything can't be said at every occasion. Imagine, there's a hadith which says, maybe sometime would amuse himself with a sahabah kiram, some light-hearted thing, right? Now for that also, there is a occasion, a circumstance. Imagine someone's father's janazah is lying here. And he says, you know, Nabi Sam used to kana yuzamihu ashabahu. So he used to talk about light-hearted things. Would you appreciate that? Would you appreciate that? But, because that was not the circumstance. It wasn't the occasion for that. You're going to be light-hearted, but it's going to be occasion for that. On that occasion, you will do it, so it will be appreciated. So he says, generally, our talks don't have that effect because one of these four elements is missing. One thing is missing. So it doesn't have that effect. Hazrat Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahman, he saw in his age, now this thing is going, the freedom is coming in. The freedom is coming in. And now, but I need to get things in order, I need to correct it. Now how must I rectify it? He's giving a talk and he's seeing a youngster at the distance and his trousers is below his ankle. Strange that Abu Buzruganuddin, they emphasize on this. I should think many a times, why they emphasize so much on this? On the trouser being below the ankle. Then it comes to my mind that this is a sign of pride. And pride, it jams your whole road. Everything gets messed up. You can't move afterwards. So it's an audience, now he sees that person, and that person's trouser is below the ankles. So anyway, the talk is over, as the talk ended, so he goes up to the youngster, he's calling, you know, he goes up straight to him quickly. So he says to the youngster, you know what, my eyes are failing, you know, and I have a problem. I can't see properly. I can't put things in perspective. Now the hadith, there is a hadith about warning you wearing the trouser below the ankle. Now I want to see, just check up my trouser, is it going below the ankle or not? I want you to check, because I can't see properly. I don't want to become a victim of this hadith. I don't want to become the victim. So just check. The youngster saw for a moment and said, hey, Hazrat, you know, I messed it up. You are right. But inshallah, from today, I'll never do this wrong again. Now he could have shouted him from that mimbar, you're doing wrong. And he wouldn't have been wrong if he did it. Because Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu corrected Hazrat Usman from the mimbar. But who's Abu Bakr, who's Umar, and who's Usman radiallahu anhu? And who is this person? Does he stand any chance to be near them? Both are pillars of the truth. They're standing for the truth, they live for the truth, they die for the truth. That is Umar, that is Usman radiallahu anhu. This person here is nowhere near them. Now, if I'm going to compare him against these Sahaba Kiram, the comparison will not be right. But if I'm going to leave the person, it's going to go more and more and more deeper into wrong. Eventually he's going to go to Jahannam. You know, one thing leads to the other, and eventually the person is lost, no direction in life, completely. But now I need to rope him now. How do I rope him? As Shah Sahib Rahmatullah is teaching in the masjid. So as he's teaching in the masjid, you can see one student's coming in. And somehow he made out, Allah gave him that basirat, whatever. He made out, the student requires a compulsory bath. And now he doesn't want to miss out the lesson, so he's coming into the masjid. Now he's just about 5-10 meters away from the masjid.
So Shahsaab says, you know what, hey, it's a hot day in Delhi today. Today temperatures have gone to 40 degrees, 35 degrees, hot day in Delhi. You know, how nice we go to the Jamna River. Just swim it out a little bit, relax, cool ourselves. And we'll come back afterwards. Maybe if you relax, we can take our kitabs there, read there today. So all the students are, now this student is getting excited, hey, you know what? I didn't have to go in a napak state into the masjid. He was afraid about now missing out the lesson and all that. So now because of him being afraid, he wanted to go attend the lesson, though he needed to have a compulsory bath. So anyway, the sabak, they had the bath and all that. So the student said, really happy. I wasn't disgraced, I wasn't singled out, I wasn't humiliated, compulsory bath. And the Shah Sahib, after we completed this, you know, why let the day go wasted? Let's have some dars also, let's have some sabak as well. But how he polished it, how he covered the whole situation, got the person to write, but in a style, a little bit, not thinking a little bit on how to put it in place. So, kabhi garmi, kabhi narmi. So, the person that is doing this, if he's got the right fikr, right concern, understanding, and he's got the sohbat, the association with his elders for a long period, he'll know, right, in this situation, how must I do? And that situation, kabhi garmi, kabhi narmi. Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he's a student of Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. All of them are the revivalist of the 13th century. Like Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah is a revivalist for the 14th century. They are the revivalist for the 13th century. Right? Enormous work. The amount of work, if you go look into the history, so much of work they've done. Covered the whole India, went to Arab countries, whatever they did. Although it wasn't the time of machinery and all that at that time. But the amount of work they did is mind-boggling how much they did. How they did, Allah's assistance was with them. So, he is not yet now the Shaykh of the time. As I say, Ahmad Shaheed, he still come to Delhi to study under Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So, Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh also still a young ustad, and they heard about a fair, about Haki Road, Ansar Fair, this fair, that fair. So, they heard about a fair, Mawlana Ismail Shaheed, let's go. Now, Sayyid Sahib doesn't know exactly what happens in this, but he saw as he stepped in, within meters he discovered, hey, this is not the right place. But now when he discovered that that's not the right place, right, now, the relationship and the rapport between the ustad and the student was such, okay, you say what you need to say. Even if I am the person that you are addressing, but you say it exactly, say it clearly, say it exactly. Otherwise, I will hold your neck before Allah Ta'ala. That you saw the wrong, you didn't correct me. Now that was the relationship, understanding of this. Sayyid Sahib had with Mawlana Ismail Sahib, Mawlana Ismail Sahib had with Sayyid Sahib, rahmatullahi. He's a student, he's much younger than Mawlana Ismail Sahib. Although, after a few years then, Sayyid Sahib becomes the Shaykh of Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib, that is his student. But that's the understanding. If you see anything wrong, you correct me there and then. And say to me clearly, boldly, even though you need to reprimand me, you say me. Aaj karne jayenge to kya hoga? Shaitan khabis kahi ke khuda ki mar pitkar, you'll never go in your ilm. That's the type of respect you got for your ustad. You see. So Sayyid Sabran is still young, and he sees now that ustad is going in this place. And he can see what's going on there. So he stops on his tracks and he says to his ustad, or Ismail Shaheed Sahib, Zara khyal kijiye, think, ponder for a moment. You know the family that you're coming from, and you know who you represent. Think you're representing Nabi Sassan. Aap aur aisi jagah, you and this place, it's not just consistent, it doesn't conform. But Ismail Shaheed Sahib remained silent for 30 seconds. Tum bilkul sahi keh rahe, meri galati hui, aainda kabhi nahi hogi. It's my mistake, it will happen in the future. Now the student is correcting the ustad. The ustad also understands, and the student also understands, that I'm not infallible. Although I'm the ustad,
And Ismail Shahid was such a brilliant person. He was such a brilliant person. You know, they say his mind works so fast. He would have 10 students, right? Now, just showing how his mind works. And he's dictating to 10 different students, right? He's dictating to them in 10 different subjects. One on history, one on fiqh, one on tafsir, one on hadith, one on mantiq, one on sarf, one on nahu, right? He's dictating to 10 different students. But the speed of his dictation is such, kisi ka kalam utta nahi. Nobody's pen is coming up. It's so speedy. He's such a brain, you know. The taqwa, you can't imagine this. He was a main man of Mawla, Sayyid Sabr Rahmatullahi. His taqwa is at a different level. His understanding is such a level. Though, very light-hearted as well. You know? Very light-hearted. So they're going for Hajj now. Come back to this story. So they're going for Hajj. So Ismail Sahib, he likes a little bit of amusement. Someone's tabiat is like that, a little bit jolly in their tabiat. They can't be too strict. Some people say, Abhar Sahib now, going straight, very straight. You can't make any jokes. So Ismail Sahib says to his sati, you see, you're going on two ships. Don't put me with Sayyid Sahib's ship. Put me on a different ship. Because Sayyid Sahib, the whole road had to. My Shaykh now, I need to maintain that level of respect. And I can't be compromising my respect for my Shaykh. Although I am his senior, he's my junior, and he's my student. But I need to maintain the respect. You're going to put me there, I will be holding myself, I won't be able to manage it. So they put him onto this ship. Different ships now. Now, in those days, you have to grind the atta, grind that wheat and all by hand. So as he's grinding it, now, some amusement has to come up. So you'll take some atta and throw it at that person's face. That person will jump. So one will get amused a little bit. I will see a small child, you throw some water or something, you get amused. That child gets amused. Anyway, now, I'm just going to show you that what level of a buzuk he must have been. Now it came to a point, they're moving by a ship, now the water is finished, no supplies. Still about a month to cover to reach up to Jeddah. The water is gone, finished. So everybody is saying, this person here is making too much of jokes here. Because of this calamity has come upon us. He's a cause. They say whatever they need to say. One old person that was there, he says, hey, people missed the boat. You get his du'as, you'll get the water. Just ask him to make the du'a, you'll get the water. Now I said, how can you? No, just listen to me, ask him to make dua. Amar Ismail Sahib is a little bit jolly in his tabiat. That is nature now. So, he says to the people that asked him to make dua, say, I'll make dua, lekin meri dua to mithai ke bagheer chipakti nahi. My duas to go, there must be some mithai. Someone must give some mithai, then it'll go up. Number two, all of us to make dua collectively. So you don't want to take the whole crown upon himself that me, I am the cause. He want to make himself like nothing. So he says, mitai. He says, everybody must make dua. So they all stood up. And then, from nowhere, it's unimaginable how it happened. One spring just shot up from the sea, straight into the boat. Was it right? Pull up all your containers. They filled up and they filled up and they filled up. Absolutely sweet water. Now one person had taken it upon himself, and as we reached one of the ports that they had to cross was Muscat, Oman, Oman? Pass Oman, that Muscat that was the state. So that whoever that wealthy person was, who promised a mitai, bought the whole ship that mitai. And we're talking about Ismail Sahib, and how they did Amar bil Ma'ruf, and Nahi anil Munkar, how they did, whatever they did, they did. So his ustad now is just newly married. He's the mujaddid of the time. If you see his maqam, is very great, very, very great. We can't compare now. We can't say this buzruk is greater than that buzruk. But he was absolutely great. Absolutely great. So the ustad now is newly married, just now married. They're all in striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And he just got married. Sayyid Ahmad Shahid Sahib Rahmatullahi. Abdul Hayy Sahib Rahmatullahi, one of his murids,
He's a murid now. And that murid is leading the namaz. And he made out that Sayyid Sahib rahmatullahi has come a little bit with a delay. He didn't get the first takbir, you know. He just came as the imam was starting the Surah Fatiha or something, and he came in there. And his murid, Mawlana Abdul Hayy Sahib, made out that Mawlana Ismail Sahib came with a delay. So the first day, he didn't say anything. The second day, when he came with a delay, now the murid is saying in front of all the musallis, he's quoting the sheikh, "Ab to ya to shadi ki ishrat hogi, ya sunnat ki ittiba hogi." It's either, I'm just translating in colloquial English, right? It's either going to be honeymooning or either following the sunnah. It's either going to be honeymooning or following the sunnah. Now, what Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib said, "Tumne baja kaha. You said, what you said was right, 100%, what you said was right. I made a mistake. Inshallah, it won't happen. It won't happen ever again." So all of us then say, you say, "Oh, kanat li hajatun. I had some problem, you know, I was making miswak, so my gums were bleeding. So I couldn't get the wuzu right, you know. And therefore I came with a delay. Somehow I had to cover my tracks, some excuse with the other, to cover my, I'm thinking to myself that I'm going to cover my tracks, and it's going to just elevate me." This was something else, that the whole group, this whole Shah Waliullah Sahib's kafla was a different thing. Totally different, absolutely different. Everything of theirs, you know, it's worth emulating. Everything of theirs was muhabbat, emulating truth, standing for the truth, dying for the truth, living for the truth. And anybody got the right to say the next person. I don't say now, in us pursuing Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, must look for the next person's faults. Nabi Sassam, ma kana ayyaban. He won't look out for the people's faults. His habit was to brush away, you know, people's faults. Don't look for it, just brush it under the carpet. That was his way. But one is that fault is coming, the mistake is coming in the open, it's coming up. Then you're going to correct the thing. You're not going to be looking for the person's fault, but if it came, it surfaced. When it surfaced, you're going to correct it, but you're going to be looking for a way how to correct it. What Ismail Shaheed Sahib was asked once, you know, you are the student of Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, rahmatullahi, right? Direct student. That's your uncle, that's your ustad. And he is the sheikh of Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib, rahmatullahi. So, you are a student, right? And he is the sheikh of Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib, rahmatullahi. So when you had that zamana, then why didn't you take bayat at his hands? Why did you take bayat at the hands of Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib, that is your student? So he said, "The baat to lambi hai, but let me tell you in short what happened." He says, "I used to be teaching my sister Mishkat Sharif." See, I emphasize on ghar ki taaleem, you know. Must make taaleem at home and every day. Even the day the wife is delivering, even the day there is a mayyat, but that talim has to go, like the tea has to go. It's mayyat day also, we'll find people are eating there, pass the gajar achar, pass the alu binis, whatever, everything will go. So everything can go, why can't the talim be taking place? I ask you, is it fair that woman, she's sacrificing for you for the whole day, making all the gajar, this type of whatever biryani and whatever else she's preparing. She did what was her fair share. And your fair share was to see that the dini standards are going right. And for the dini standards to go right, you have to read Quran Sharif in the house, have to make talim in the house, have to make zikr in the house. She is doing her fair share, more than her fair share. And the day she falters, then if there's a little bit of more salt, and then tevra badal jata hai. The whole facial expression goes, you pull up your face, a little bit, small mistake. But when you fail at this, you messed up, there's nobody to account for you, no accountability at all. Is that fair, I say? And then you want to know why things are not happening right. So this talim in the house is from that time, we talk of 2.5 centuries away. It's happening daily. He says, "I was teaching my sister Mishkat Sharif, and I came to the section of Kitabun Nikah, and deliberately I left it out because I was afraid that my sister is a widow. I'm going to talk about the fazilat of Nikah, etc. She'll be prompted to make Nikah. And now in the whole of India, for a widow getting married was a very embarrassing thing. For a widow to get married was a very embarrassing thing. It's coming from a Hindu custom. But it was so overwhelming that nobody would dare getting married to a widow. A widow won't get married at all. So I deliberately just left that out. I'm going to read all the fazilat. Perhaps she will get interested arguing to problem just now. And shortly after that, I got bayat to Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi. When I got bayat to him, then I initiated the whole process of her making nikah. Although she was about 75 at that time. It's not a prospect for nikah. But just to break that Indian custom, that a widow cannot get married, just to break that, smash that down, I initiated the whole prayer process, I got her married. She is Amr bin Ma'ruf. Mawla Abdul Qayyum Sahib Rahmatullahi, he's around the same time, he's just after Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi. So, Bhopal was an independent state. Right? And it had its own Nawab and all that. At that time it was a Begum that used to ruin the whole Bhopal. So, the Begum of the place had called Mawlana for some work, whatever it was, Mawla Abdul Qayyum Sahib. So as Mawlana Abdul Qayyum Sahib is leaving her residence, so he straightened her shoes. So she says, "No, I don't appreciate this. You're such a great alim, and you straightening my shoes. It's supposed to be the other way around. I'm supposed to be straightening your shoes because of your ilm, your righteousness, etc." So now again, Amar bil Ma'ruf. Mawlana says, "You know what? You are greater than myself. So how can it be?" So now listen. Don't go too fast. Just listen. See, I've been working in your town for over a month, right? Giving bayans and all that. On widows getting married. I'm not talking about second marriage. Widows getting married, not remaining widows. But nobody is responding. And you'll see, you'll prove your buzrugi if you just pass one royal decree that you give them a limited time, and within that time they must all get married. And see what happens after that. She caught on what Mona was saying. I'll do it, inshallah. She gave a time of a month. And there wasn't a woman that was widowed that didn't marry that. Mona said, "See, I showed you, your talks will have a different effect to my talks." But you see, the whole relationship is, again, supporting the cause of deen.